Welcome to the Blue Horizon Show. This is your host, Cheryl, the Bluebird, and I'm here to play the blues for you. Tonight on Blue Horizon, I am going to feature artists who are cousins. And I came along with this idea. Well, actually, I had compiled this list in my head a while back of different artists who happen to be related as cousins. And the reason that I'm doing this is I recently spent Thanksgiving with my family and my cousins, whom they haven't come over for Thanksgiving in decades because they have their other families. And I actually only hadn't been back for Thanksgiving, with the exception of last year, for years. So that is the theme tonight. And we're going to get the show rolling with Reverend Willie Morganfield.
I'm going to live the life I sing about in my song. I'm going to stand for the right and always showing the wrong. If in a crowd, if I'm alone, if in the street now, or in my home, I'm gonna live what I sing about in my song. If at day, or if at night, I must always walk in the light. Folk will watch me and they'll spot me. Call me crazy. That's all right. You know I can't sing one thing and live another. Be a saint in the night and a devil on the cover. I got to live what I sing about in my song. Around and be with me.
and don't escape from the blues.
And that was McKinley Morganfield, better known as Muddy Waters. He told People he was born in 1915 in Rolling Fork, Mississippi. He was actually born a mere 2 years earlier in the nearby uncharted locale called Jug's Corner. His father was Ollie Morganfield, and his mother, Bert Grant, named him McKinley. And not long after he was born, his young mother passed away by unknown means. He was then raised by his grandmother, Della Grant, who moved him with her son, only 3 years Muddy Sr., to the Stovall Plantation near Clarksdale, Mississippi. It was Della who gave him the Muddy moniker, and Water was added by childhood friends, and the S on the end of Waters was added after he'd moved to Chicago in 1943. And musicologist Alan Lomax traveled through Stovall's plantation in August of 1941 under the auspice of the Library of Congress in search of new talent for the purposes of field recordings. And with the discovery of McKinley Morganfield, Lomax must have immediately known he stumbled across someone very special. And before that, we heard from Reverend Willie Morganfield, the seventh son of Muddy's uncle, Lewis, and the pastor of Bell Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Clarksdale, Mississippi, since 1975. And Willie Morganfield started out as a singer. He performed with a number of gospel groups, including the New Orleans Chosen Five and the Kings of Harmony. Eventually, he became known as a soloist and released several hit recordings in the 1950s and 1960s. However, since accepting the call to the ministry in the 1960s, Willie Morganfield has made preaching his priority. And now let's get on to the next set with three cousins, and we're going to start it out with Texas Alexander.
Best woman never been born. I say a married woman, best woman never been born. Only trouble you have is trying to keep her at home. Only trouble you have trying to keep her at home. My woman left me this morning, but I blame myself. My woman left me this morning, but I blame myself. That bad-bodied man taking my woman, now he's gone to the well. I say taking my woman, now he's gone to the well. I can't sleep at night when I lay down to take my rest. I can't sleep at night when I lay down to take my rest. Says a woman I love, Lord, is not for no man. Boy, the woman I love, she is not for no man.
Bad clothes, no back and holler.
Please come on back.
got something of mine. I sure do like that's my black Cadillac in the morning. My black Cadillac in the morning. Yeah, my black Cadillac with them white wall tires. Drive. She said, step on it. This fast is running. He said, I don't know. I don't want to get no ticket. She said, step on this thing. She said, this fast is good. I don't want to ride this Cadillac no more. He said, well, I'm going to let the hammer down. He said, well, if you see a red light, run over it and get a ticket. She said, no, I ain't going to get no ticket. He said, about to make it red. That thing wide open, man. My black Cadillac. They left me and that was something I sure didn't like. My black Cadillac in the morning. Yeah, my black Cadillac with them white wall tires. And hear what she told me. I know your Cadillac is really black. I know you got them white wall tires. But I got a black man beside. White eyes and white teeth. Ooh, lightning. You can't kiss me. No, lad, you can't get me. Well, it's obvious, didn't I? Wonder where can it be? I stopped, parking lot. They done parked in the busted block. I caught them. But what good it do? That Cadillac wouldn't run no more for me. And it wouldn't run for you.
And that was none other than the master of the Telecaster, Albert Collins. And he was born in Leona, Texas. And the song we heard him playing was Traveling South. He was born in Leona, Texas in 1932, and his family moved to Houston when he was 7, and he was exposed to the blues at an early age. He started out on the organ and piano, and on the organ he would remain with him even when he switched to guitar. His cousin was guitarist Lightning Hopkins, and another cousin taught him the open tuning that would be a major part of his style, and he also was greatly influenced by John Lee Hooker's records. Albert Collins was also called the Iceman in the Razor Blade, and he was robbed of the best years of the blues performer's career by a bout with liver cancer that ended his life prematurely on November 24th, 1993. And before that, we heard from Lightning Hopkins. He was born Sam Hopkins, and his scratchy voice, ragged guitar, and off-the-cuff lyrics carried him from the back alleys and gin joints to Carnegie Hall. His inspiration came early. At a mere 8 years of age, Hopkins met and performed with Blind Lemon Jefferson at a country picnic. By the time he had hit his early teens, Hopkins was performing across East Texas with his cousin, vocalist Texas Alexander. The duo continued to perform on and off until the mid-1930s, when Hopkins did a stint in prison for an unknown offense, and he rejoined his cousin after his release, but was soon discovered and signed by a talent scout for Aladdin Records. And Hopkins was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in 1980. He passed away from cancer in 1982. And Clifton Chenier was also a cousin of Lightning Hopkins. And the song that we heard from him was Big Black Cadillac Blues. And before that, we started out that set with Texas Alexander with When You Get to Thinking. And he was born Alger Alexander on September 12th, 1900, and he was a blues singer from Texas. He was a short man with a big, deep voice and started his career performing on the streets and at local parties and picnics in the Brazos River bottomlands, where he sometimes worked with Blind Lemon Jefferson. And in 1927, he began a recording career that continued into the 1930s. In November 1928, Alexander recorded what is believed to be the earliest version of The House of the Rising Sun. And Alexander did not play an instrument himself, and over the years he worked with a number of musicians, including his cousin Lightning Hopkins, and he sang in the free rhythm of work songs, such as the Migrant Cotton Pickers he performed for might have sung, and he possessed a challenge for those accompanying him. In 1939, Alexander murdered his wife, resulting in a stay in the state penitentiary in Paris, Texas, from 1940 to 1945. Must run in the family. And after he returned to performing and recording, Alexander made his last recording in 1950 with Benton's Busy Bees before dying at the age of 53 from syphilis in 1954 in Houston, Texas. And let's get on the next set. Hopefully I'll be able to talk when we come back. And let's get it going with, let's see. Let's hear from J.B. Lenore.
Yeah. sing the blues.
And that was Bither Smith with Live On and Sing the Blues. He was born in 1933 in Monticello, Mississippi. Smitty, as he was known, came to Chicago during the mid-1950s after spending time toiling on an Arizona cattle farm, of all places. He picked up guitar tips from his cousin, his first cousin, J.B. Lenore. And like his cousin, he addresses political and social issues with his music. And we started out that set with J.B. Lenore with People Are Meddling in My Affairs. He was born in 1929 in Monticello, Mississippi, and J.B. was his legal given name. He was heavily influenced by Blind Lemon Jefferson at an early age, thanks to his guitar-playing father. And Lenore spent time in New Orleans before arriving in Chicago in the late 1940s. Boogie grooves were an integral part to Lenore's infectious routine from the get-go, and his exceptionally high-pitched vocal range is a fuller, but it also adds to his singular appeal of his music. People would sometimes think that he was a woman because his voice was so high. And in 1967, he died probably as a delayed result of an auto accident that he was involved in 3 weeks prior. And now let's get on to the next set. I was running around the studio like a madwoman trying to find one more artist that's another cousin that I couldn't quite find any of his material. And so instead, I'm going to play his other cousins. So let's get the next set going with Robert Nighthawk.
She spread her wings. I've got a sweet black angel. I like the way she spread her wings. When she spread her wings over me, I'll get joy in everything. Black angel should quit me, I believe that I would die. Help my black angel should quit me, I believe that I would die. If you don't love me, black angel, please tell me the reason why. Well, all right, man. She bought me a whiskey still.
that was Joe McCoy with Your Money Can't Buy Me. And he, along with his brother Charlie, are enshrined among the greatest sidemen in blues history. His Spartan slide style, most notably preserved on the landmark recordings with his wife Memphis Minnie. He was born in May 11th in 1905 in Jackson, Mississippi, and he was primarily known as Kansas Joe McCoy. McCoy died January 28, 1950 in Chicago, and before that we heard from Robert Nighthawk with Sweet Black Angel. He was popularly known as Robert Nighthawk from his hit song Nighthawk, and his real name was actually Robert Lee McCollum. He was cousins of Joe and Charlie McCoy, and he worked with his cousins as a harmonica player, and he was born Robert Lee McCollum in Helena, Arkansas on November 30th, 1909. He left home to hobo widely and played harmonica at juke joints throughout the South from the mid-1920s for several years before taking up guitar in 1930. In the mid-1920s, he worked with Will Shade of the Memphis Jug Band in Memphis, and Nighthawk learned guitar from his cousin Houston Stackhouse. That's what I was trying to find material from. I couldn't find anything by Houston Stackhouse here in the studio. And the two of them worked together at parties and jukes in the Hollandale, Mississippi area from the late 1920s to the early 1930s. And in the mid-1935, he moved to St. Louis after a scrape with the law and took the name Robert McCoy after his mother's maiden name. And now let's get on to the next set with an artist from Tennessee, and that's Booker White.
And your love is growing cold. Oh, but I got a new story to tell you, babe. One that ain't never been told. I believe you're right. baby. I think I got some help that I don't really need. I went to work this morning and I decided I would double back. That car that was sitting in the front of my door, it looked like a brand new Cadillac, and I ain't got none now, baby. I believe you've been running out on me. I believe to my soul that I got some outside help I don't really need. The Iceman came by this morning and he didn't leave no ice. The postman came by and it didn't ring twice. I think you're running out on me, baby. I think you've been running out on me. You know, I believe to my soul that I got some outside help I don't really need. Now you better tell that Iceman that I'm hot on his trail. And the next time the postman stop by, he better leave some mail. And when I come home, it better be grocery on the shelf. You tell that insurance man, he better write some insurance on himself. Cause I believe, I got some help I don't really need.
And that was B.B. King with I Got Some Help I Don't Need. And he was born Riley B. King in Itabena, Mississippi, in 1925. And as a child, he was shuttled between his mother's home and his grandmother's. And he put in long days working as a sharecropper and devoutly sang the Lord's praises at church before moving to Indianola in 1943. That's Indianola, Mississippi, in case you don't know. And in 1946, he set off for Memphis to look up his cousin, the rough-edged country blues guitarist Booker White. For 10 invaluable months, White taught his eager young relative the finer points of playing blues guitar. And after returning briefly to Indianola and the sharecropper's eternal struggle with his wife Martha, King returned to Memphis once again in late 1948. And his name, B.B., comes from his radio handle. He was a radio announcer when he moved back to Memphis. He became a radio announcer. And his handle was Bill Street Blues Boy. That was later shortened to Blues Boy. And now is, of course, obviously shortened to B.B. And before that, we heard from his cousin Booker White with World Boogie. And Booker was born Booker T. Washington White in Houston, Mississippi, in 1906. He got his initial start in music learning fiddle tunes from his father, and guitar instructions soon follow. And when Booker White was 14, he spent some time with his uncle in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and passed himself as a 21-year-old, using his guitar playing as a way to attract women. In addition to music, he also played baseball and took up boxing for a while. And in 1930, he met Ralph Limbo, who was a talent scout for Victor, the record label. And he traveled to Memphis to make his first recordings, singing a mixture of blues and gospel material under the name of Washington White. And I hope you're enjoying the Kissing Cousins show on Blue Horizon. We've got about a quarter of an hour left to go. And I want to remind you that Aspen Public Radio, about a third of the budget comes from pledges. And you can pledge by going to aspenpublicradio.org, and you can renew your membership or become a member online there. You can also call Aspen Public Radio at 970 920-9000 and make a pledge, and your generosity is greatly appreciated. And now let's get on to the next set with another guitarist, Earl Hooker.
Shoot you right down, right off of your feet. Take you home with me, put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. I love to see you walk up and down the floor. But when you're talking to me, that baby talk, I just like it like that. Or when you talk like that, you knocks me out right off of my feet. How shake it, baby. Shake it, baby. Shake it, baby. One time. She walked that walk and talked that talk and
whisper in my ear and tell me that you love me. I love that talk, that baby talk. But when she talk like that, she knocks me dead right off of my feet. How
oh yeah. Well, come on home to me, baby, and shake it, baby, and shake it, baby, one time.
And that was John Lee Hooker with Boom Boom. He was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi in 1917, and the Hook was a Mississippi native who became the top gent on the Detroit blues circuit in the years following World War II. His earliest influence was his stepfather, Will Moore, who played guitar and was friends with blues legends such as Charlie Patton, Blind Lemon Jefferson, and Blind Blake. Hooker heard Memphis Calling while he was still in his teens, but couldn't gain much of a foothold there, so he relocated to Cincinnati for a seven-year stretch before making the big move to the Motor City in 1943. And before that, we heard from Earl Hooker with Hold On, I'm Coming. He was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi in 1929, and during the 1950s and 60s, there was not a more immaculate slide guitarist residing in Chicago than Earl Hooker. When he was young, his family moved to Chicago, and he ran away from home at age 13, journeying back to Mississippi. And after another stint in Chicago, he rambled back to the Delta again, playing with Ike Turner and Sonny Boy Williamson. Hooker made his first recording in 1952 and then in 1953, and his amazing prowess finally drew increased attention during the late 1960s. He passed away from tuberculosis in 1970, and we have time for just a few more, so let's get it rolling. And we're going to hear from Elmore James. was Homesick James with Hawaiian Boogie. Homesick James was born in Somerville, Tennessee, April 30th, 1910, the son of musicians, and he is believed to have been born John William Henderson, but later used the name James A. Williamson, and sometimes referred to as Homesick James Williamson, and he developed a self-taught style of slide guitar through playing at local dances in his teens, and he also claimed to be the older cousin of Elmore James and to have bought Elmore his first guitar and taught him how to play slide. However, some of these claims are unconfirmed, and before that we heard from Elmore James with Look on Yonder Wall. Elmore James was born in Richland, Mississippi in 1918. He was a radio repairman by trade, and Elmore reworked his guitar amplifier in his spare time, getting them to produce raw, distorted sounds that wouldn't resurface until the advent of the heavy rock amplification in the late 1960s. His Amp on 11 approach was hotwired to one of the strongest emotional approaches to the blues ever recorded. And that concludes the Blue Horizon Show for tonight. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And I've been your host, Cheryl the Bluebird. And this is Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on AJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. I hope you'll join me again next week for more great blues. And now stay tuned for the BBC coming up next.